you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Take Off with John Clark, presented by Rivers Casino. And look, we're all still thinking about the Eagles' collapse, how disappointing this season ended, so much hope. So let's bring in a former great Eagle who was down in Tampa. We actually flew back on the same plane, and there were a lot of miserable Eagles fans. Let's bring in Hollis Thomas. Hollis, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I've been better. After Eagles loss, I know you, even when I played after Eagles loss, it was you just didn't feel right. Put it that way. But a lot of people saw this coming. I didn't want to believe it, but you know, it's one of those things right now where before this game came about, I told you this when I saw you, that I didn't think that they should do a bit of house cleaning. But after watching this game and watching the players not believing what they're doing, I think it's time to clean house and get somebody in there that they can respect and believe. Because if the player doesn't believe in what they're going to do, what we've been getting these last 6 or 7 weeks is what happened.
So right now, obviously Nick Sirianni is going to be meeting with Eagles owner Jeff Lurie. And it kind of feels like the situation with Doug Peterson, where Jeff Lurie probably wants a better coaching staff in place, or, hey, how are we going to fix this? But you think that Nick should lose his job?
I don't think Nick should lose his job. I think that he should go with – because if he should lose his job, he should lose his job if he's not on board with getting a better coaching staff. If you think about it, he's a good leader. He hasn't really lost. It's like the epic collapse is what we're talking about. And if you don't believe that it needs to be fixed, then you don't need to be here. I was like, everybody, if Stevie Wonder can see what transpired. I was like, you went from a feared squad to everybody doing the exact same thing to you week in and week out, and you try offensively. You have one of the most physically imposing offensive lines in the NFL. And one of the most dynamic backs in the NFL, and he touches the ball 10 times. And a team you beat earlier this season, and he touches the ball 10 times, and the missed tackles. Come on, dude. At some point, you have to see the writing on the wall, and you have to you have to stop this now. If you don't stop it now, we're in for an epically bad season coming up.
And Hollis, we always enjoy getting your takes on A2D Radio and your show with Irving Fryer, and you're an ambassador for the Philly sports trips. And I tell you, I see you on all the Eagles trips, and I was talking to some guys. It didn't seem like Eagles fans traveled as well for this game to Tampa. It's almost like they didn't believe. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah. And then, you know, a lot of the people that was on our trip, they didn't. They were already transplanted down there in Tampa already. So we got a lot of people that was already down there because, as you know, my birthday was last week. I got two surprise parties. One at Tampa Joe's. We got there late because due to the flight being late, and apparently like about 400 or 500 rabid Eagles fans was waiting on me to give me a surprise birthday party. We had a great tailgate and everything. But the sentiment around when we were talking to everybody was, we don't see them winning. If they come out with the same thing, and I think everybody, well, you was at the game, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So at the game, well, after we gave up the field goal, when they came out in the spread formation, I think everybody wanted to get up and leave. They came out in that spread formation. I think everybody, because I know some people turned the channel literally and went to the Flyers game. And I was like, it's like the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again. If I see another damn wide receiver screen from them, I'm gonna lose my mind. I was sitting there and I'm like, Come on, dude. And then you think that he's gonna run Swift. And one guy said after Swift touched the ball one time, it got like 8 or 9 yards. He said, "You're not gonna see Swift again until the third quarter." I was like, you kidding me. And he was right. When you're that predictable offensively, you need to do something. And if Nick Sirianni tries to keep anybody from this staff, that's pretty much what happened to Doug. If you're not willing to change the staff to make things better, then you don't need to be here. I was like, I understand. It's like either you want to hang with your friends, or you want to do, or you want to win football games. As you can't have both. It's like you don't get teammate and homie mixed up. You can't the writing was right there, and it's like man. And then our defense, man, that was in complete and utter disarray. They need a whole new coaching staff and a whole new voice to create an identity. It's like, because I'm sick and tired of looking at it. We have a dynamic defense. And I sat at a bar during the fourth quarter, writing down Jim Johnson defenses of how this young defensive line and the linebackers, which we don't really have any linebackers, could flourish. Because if you give them assignments to do, they don't look like they're waiting. He who hesitates, you know the rest of that. I don't want to mess up your show, but he who hesitates, you know, the one thing defensively, and we talked about this too, defensively, is when you call a blitz, and you notice all of our blitzes, they were just a hair late. You know why they were just a hair late? Because the guys don't believe. It's like when you run in a blitz, you got to believe that you're going to come free. That's the only way the blitz is going to work. Because if everybody's coming at the same time, then somebody's going to come free. And when they come free, bam, it's a sack. And you get off the field, or you hit them, or you knock the ball up in the air, and it's a pick. But if everybody doesn't believe, you get what we're doing now. What we're doing now is we got a bunch of guys out there who are good athletes. You see some good athletes out there, and you see a young secondary. You have to send them to quote unquote hunt. If you don't hunt, we get what we got now. If the worst part is hearing somebody from the opposing team say, "We know what y'all are gonna be doing defensively. Y'all give a 4-man rush, and y'all gonna either run man or cover 5." And that was from offensive lineman.
Yeah. No, so Hollis, it's fascinating because when I was watching the defense, and I don't know as much as you do, you play defense in the NFL. To me, football, the team that is well coached and is playing for each other and trusts one another and trusts the defensive scheme is going to win. So when I watch these guys, did they become a step slower the second half of the season and the missed tackling and all these things? Is that because they don't believe in what they're being coached?
Yeah, you're exactly right. If you don't believe in it, it's kind of like even though that they haven't been playing that long together, if you believe in the scheme, if you believe in the guy next to you, you're going to be a lot faster than they are. They're a step late on pretty much everything. And then when we get there, nobody's driving. It's like I didn't see – all I can hear in my head when I see it, seeing all the missed tackles, was all I could hear was Tom Frazier and Jim Johnson saying, "Run your feet, run through the tackle." Everybody's hitting and stopping their feet. And it's like, if they had like 180 some yards after contact, I was like, "Oh God, man, it was horrible to look at, man." And it was, even if you're an Eagles fan, it was painstaking. But it was painstaking to watch. But like the other people who didn't watch the game, and like I was like 1, 2, 3, 4. There was a couple hundred people that told me that when the offense came out with the spread formation, they turned to the flyer. And I was like, I don't blame you, because it's like you're hoping that at some point they realize that what they're doing is not getting you victories. It's like for 6 or 7 weeks you do the same crap, and every game what rears its ugly head offensively. That damn wide receiver screen. He almost got somebody killed in the Giants game. Did you see that one?
Yep. Yeah. So Hollis, Darius Slay, after the season ended in the locker room cleanout, said, when you have Sean Desai's defense and then Matt Patricia takes over his defense, he went there. He said it's like having two wives. It's like having two marriages at the same time. How hard is that to live that way? He said, one of your wives, she wants to have her feet rubbed. The other wife wants to have a back massage.
Right. Yeah.
So it's completely different things. They're asking for different things. How difficult do you think that was adjustment? Because the defense got worse.
Yes, it did. And you can't have two voices. It's like having two head coaches. Well, he described it perfectly. You only got two hands. So you can't rub the feet and the back at the same time because they're too far apart. He should have said she wanted her feet rubbed and the other one wanted her neck rubbed or her back rubbed. And so you can't they're too far apart.
Yeah.
You can't have two voices. It needs to be one voice and everybody needs to be on the same page. If they were going to do something like that, it should have been at midseason. Or a training camp because you knew that the side when I found out that the side I was on board a little bit with the side, but then when I found out that he was just a co-defensive coordinator, he really didn't make the calls in Chicago. I was kind of skeptical. And it's like, why would you, this was my question. Why would you bring two first year coordinators in, especially losing six defensive starters? With young guys, you bring a guy who was not proven and has no pedigree yet. Instead, you should have brought in somebody with some experience in defensive calling. And the fact that Kevin Bayer, you remember when Kevin Bayer asked, could they break down the receivers? What? And you, I was like, I don't want to keep saying they used to, but you, when you have a job, you have to do your best. You're the one that's going to be out there. You need to see what's happening. So my breakdown was maybe a little different from what the head coach, well, not the head coach, but what the defensive coach sees. And they used to ask us for our breakdown. And so I don't know that was kind of puzzling to me that they didn't already break the receivers down themselves, because we always broke the opposing team's offensive line down. And I would give them what I would give Tom Brady what I see and the rest of the guys on what I see all across the board. It's like, you're in it together. And that's what I didn't see with these guys. I mean, they have love for each other. I was like, but on the field, it's a little different. Like what Slay said, when you listen to two different voices, it's like you kind of just keep each other trying to console each other. It's like, come on, dude, let's try to get this over with. And you try to weather the storm. And I saw a lot of people just trying to survive in this game, and it was real embarrassing. But it was, especially in the playoffs. You get to the playoffs, you feel like everybody's 0-0. And you feel like they're going to do something different. But just as I said, when they came back out of that spread formation, instead of a kick your ass style formation, it was like, oh man, here we go again.
Hey, right now with Fanatics Sportsbook, when you place a $50 bet or more, you will get $200 back in fan cash. Every $1 of fan cash equals $1 for bonus bets or $1 on Fanatics.com for team gear, collectibles, and more. Fanatics Sportsbook. Sign up today and they'll handle the rewards. You must be 21 years of age and present in Pennsylvania. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So when I see the defense, I see kind of a broken defense, like the lack of belief. And then when I see the offense not be able to handle the blitz again, not have the answers again. I mean, to go 0-for-11 on third and fourth down, they only had 14 yards on third downs. 0-for-11 on third and fourth downs, no answers for the blitz. To me, that's got to be coaching, right? I know the quarterback, he's got to identify the blitz. Jason Kelce on the line. They also so smart. They sense where the blitz is coming from. You prepare for it. But to me, there weren't enough answers. Now, they missed a couple passes to Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith. But to me, there weren't enough answers.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny you say that, too, because when I was looking at one of the other games. Now, the NFL is a copycat league. So the things that you can't stop, because Wink Martindale and a few other teams, they were max blitzing us. And if you look at each time everybody's max blitzed us, everybody's like, oh, well, Jalen can't read. If you stand out and watch the whole thing, none of the receivers are turning around to see what's going on. They're running their route without seeing what's going on behind them. Nobody's running any sight adjustment. It's like, dude, what are you? What? And then the point that you just made about we didn't make any adjustments, it's like it happened all year long, and we didn't make, any, like you said, any adjustments whatsoever. That's coaching. It's like, you don't have any hot reads. If you don't have anybody doing slight adjustment, is like most of the time when you run a max blitz, the middle is always open. Everybody's route was going outside. And nobody turned around to see what was happening to the quarterback. None of the receivers. That was the one thing, because I was looking, I was like, well, Jalen's not that dumb. And I was looking, I got the wide view. I was like, oh, okay. Because when he's pump faking because nobody was turned around. Everybody's back was to him.
So to me, like you said, you know, when you look at last year, coaching happens and players get better or mistakes don't happen again. So for all of these mistakes, for 7 weeks now, we have seen the mistakes on offense, not being able to handle blitz, and defense missed tackling, missed assignments, and guys kind of not knowing where they are. So are we going to see two new coordinators, and do they need to be experienced coordinators? And to take it deeper, Hollis, if Nick Sirianni is still the head coach, can they get great coordinators? Because obviously, Nick, if he doesn't get an extension, he's got, 2 years left on his contract. But do you kind of need to be all in with Nick for him to be able to get really good coordinators?
No, I think if I was a coordinator, because a lot of times coordinators want to come and get a job that will allow them to get a head coaching job. So you figure if you come with this team is not slightly, but they're ready made. You can get some experience and find somebody that knows Jalen, but also keep Jalen on point and wants to run the ball. But you are going to see two new coordinators with experience. I don't know how much experience, but you better get somebody in there who can call and demands a certain thing. It's like accountability and attention to detail. It's like that's the main thing that any coordinator should have, especially defensively. Attention to detail, because as you've seen, the slightest mishap defensively, and they're going to the house. I can't see how they need to. And I think they want to win a title. I was like, if you look at it, we were winning despite the coordinators all the way up to till the implode. We were winning in spite of them. It's like, so if your team could do that. I think if I'm an experienced coordinator, I would want to come in and see if I can put my fingerprints on there and help try to bring a title in. I was like, because that's the main thing that guys want to do is they want to win, because with winning becomes better, more job, a higher job, and more money. So, but it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds after the meeting today, because if he's not willing to change, I think he's gone.
And look, you know about getting to the mountaintop then trying to go back and do it again. To me, and Lane Johnson mentioned this in the locker room after the loss, he said he saw some body language at some point. That was not good, whether it's sulking and frustration. And so we saw that. And I'll be honest, I mean, Jalen Hurts a lot of times. Well, maybe it's all we see on TV, but you see him go to the bench. And you see other guys maybe talking with him, but he doesn't seem to be of the mindset or the body language where it's like, we got this. It seems like he would kind of be on his own a little bit there. I mean, was there bad body language and bad looks coming from a lot of players?
Well, it was coming from some players, but like when you look at him, he's the same all the time. And that's the one thing I love about him. I think a lot of people have a misnomer about how you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to react. But everybody's not going to react like that, and I love him. I love him because he's just like he keeps a cerebral approach to everything. I was like you want your defense line, your offense line to be nuts. Now your quarterback, he can't be nuts because he has to hone in. He's got the ball in his hand all the time, and he has to focus way more than we do. All we have to do is run and hit. He has to. excuse me.
He's got to
have a cerebral approach. But some of the other guys, the body language from the other guys was a body language of defeat. And I think it has more so to do with the coaching than anything. was like, you it's like, and Nick was trying, I think Nick was trying to, you know, pump him up. But you, the thing that I think all the guys love Nick, but I think the rest of the coaching staff, besides like Jeff Stoutland, I love him. That's like he's, I don't know why they didn't make him offensive coordinator. You ever thought about that? Stout guy?
He's the running game coordinator as well.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, and I know he's probably pissed because they only use 10 or 12 of his plays. And then, and I don't know about like when they put like certain people in the game, like Quez, and then Gainwell. I don't know if it's time to let everybody play just yet.
I feel you.
Oh man,
Hollis, why is it that when you look at this team, really the only players that got better or stayed the same this year were really the receivers, maybe AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. And it seemed like everybody else took a step back. And let's face facts. I mean, a lot of it, obviously the defense brought the team down for the last 2 months of the season. Obviously, right. Big time. Defense was horrible. But you know, turnovers on offense, Jalen Hurts had, you know, a lot more
turnovers
on offense. I think 9 or 10 more interceptions. So not handling the ball well. And maybe Jalen didn't see the field as well on offense.
I think that had a lot to do with his injuries too, but I'm not giving them any type of outer excuse. He has to clean that up real good. And up until we start the Evan Gimplo, we're talking about third downs. We were third in the league on converting third downs. It's like after that, it's like what the hell happened? And you look at defensively, I like the defensive line. They really couldn't get off like they wanted to. There was no plan in that. And I still to this day, when you just line up stripe to stripe, that's only going to work so many times. You do that when it's nut cutting time. I was like, you line up stripe to stripe when it's nut cutting time. But up until then, you can the defensive line five against four, the run is always going to win. That's why teams run it. When you see the guy come to the line of scrimmage, and he starts pointing and stuff, he starts doing a little proverbial points and stuff. He's letting the offensive line know that we're finna run what we call doggy because they only have four puppies up front, and they can't stop the run. And our linebackers, if you give the linebackers specific things to do, it will be a lot better. Like Matt, like we used to be trotting and Corey Simon and the rest of the D tackles. We love under Mackay or Swim or even Mackay. That's what trot hit the A gap like a battering ram, and one of us hit the other A gap like a battering ram. And then we just let the chips fall where they may. If you give our linebacker something to do, it will be much better than allowing him to rub double up to the linebacker, and then the guy getting 8 or 9 yards, and everybody else missing tackles and stuff because they're hesitating. If you're gonna leave the guys up front, you should run some stunts to cut up a run. As Jim would say, you have to cut up the run if you're not going to have 7 or 8 in the box.
Yeah. So when you see the Tampa Bay Bucs beat the Eagles. Baker Mayfield beat the Eagles. Todd Bowles beat the Eagles. And to me, a lot of it is coaching. I mean, the fact that the Eagles have more talent than the Bucs. Yep. And to me, like we said, it was the same things that did in the Eagles that had been bringing them down for 6 to 7 weeks. So to me, how do you build this thing back up again? Do you believe it's mostly coaching and have new coaching perspectives to coach these guys up?
It's kind of like when they say you know, you infuse some young blood. You infuse new blood here. You infuse some people here who command certain things that wasn't commanded at first. You have a young bunch who are used to authoritative figures as far as like them just coming from college. So you have to infuse something like that, especially defensively. Defensively, we could be awesome. We have a bunch of athletes. We just were not using them. The fact that Hassan Reddick was dropping in the – are you kidding me? You got the best – one of the best pass rushers known to man. And you have him chasing Saquon Barkley down the sideline? Come on, dude. That's the stupidest thing this side of the Mississippi. Between that and then you got the kid Smith. He should be rushing the passer. It's like it's so many things that ask the offensive lineman this. Will you present guys at the front of the defense in front of the offense that who are hybrid guys who can be defensive end or linebacker? It puts them on notice. They get confused because they don't know if is it a 3-4 or is it a 4-3. How are you counting that guy? It's like, and we did none of that. We did no creativity, no disguising of anything. We just went out there and thought that we were just supposed to win because we had the wing on the side of our helmet. Defensively, anyway. And offensively, I don't know what the hell. And sometimes I didn't know what the hell we were doing. I was like, we lost that loving feeling of running the ball down people's throat and then hitting them over the top with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and underneath with Dallas Goedert. I was like, every time we threw the ball deep, there was nothing underneath. I was like, so you want to know what that's what was wrong. We nothing underneath. If you watch the Indianapolis Colts with Shane Steichen, I was like, oh, man, I long for those routes. It's like one of the guys running naked by himself down the field because you run bells and whistles throughout the middle, and they got nosy and looked at that, and the guy was running behind them, scot free. He had Gardner Minshew looking like an All-Pro.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I'll say.
So do you think that Brian Johnson was running his offense, or do you think he was running Nick Sirianni's offense? Because Nick makes sure that he wants his defense run a certain way, so he's going to bring in a coordinator that runs the defense he wants. And same thing with the offense.
I think if you look at Brian Johnson's offense and go back and look at Utah when he was there, that's what you got. And it didn't work then, and it didn't work now. So, I mean, the most disheartening part is him watching what actually worked the last year as a quarterback coach, and then coming in and trying to do something different, knowing it didn't work and it wasn't working, and then sometimes you have to go back to basics. And what it's like, you can do things the way you want to if you want to, but if you're not having success, you need to check out what had this team successful. And I don't think he did that. Actually, you know he didn't do that because we kept running wide receiver screens.
Yeah. Boy, it is so frustrating. Now, let me ask you.
Okay. Huh? It was one other thing, too. We had some of the best receivers on slant routes known to man. And how many slant routes did we really see?
Well, A.J. Brown, I mean, there's nobody better.
Yeah. And it's like, on the side of Jess routes, if they run the blitz, a slant route through the middle instead of a nine route.
I feel you, Hollis.
It's frustrating.
Hollis, bad as this is, the way the Eagles season ended with such promise, which fan base would you say should be suffering more? Who had the biggest collapse, the Cowboys or the Eagles?
Cowboys. They won a division and they were on a roll. And even though, put it this way, they expected to win, we didn't.
Yeah. And they had the 2 seed and they were at home.
Exactly. And they were undefeated at home.
Yeah.
So put it this way, it was more people cowboyed it up than it was like before the game. I heard all types of chirping. It's like, y'all gonna be 1-0, y'all gonna be 1-0. And in my mind, I was like, y'all probably are too, because the Green Bay is not a good draw for you guys, especially with the running back number 33. He's from Texas, and every time he plays there, he dominates. So, and they took advantage. See, when you see what they did offensively to the Cowboys, they ran the ball down their throat, and then you know the guys jump slant routes. You give them a couple of slant goals. And they hit right behind them. It was like sweet. It was epic. And then that defensively, what they did, it was like you wish that type of coaching was going on here. But it was an epic collapse because that was the first time in history that a number 7 seed has won. You know why?
Now,
you know why it's the first time in history?
Because it's only been around for 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but here's the thing too. I mean, it's the first time in NFL history a team won 12 games or more 3 straight years and didn't make it to the conference title game. I mean, and it was all set up for them this year. They won the division. Yeah. They were at home. They had it all set up. They were averaging like 40 points a game at home this year, and they blew it.
Yeah, and that, you know, the funny part too is flying down to, when I was flying down to Tampa, there was a this will let you know about the cowgirl fans. Flying down there, he's like the one of the guys was a cowgirl fan and was like he was just talking all types of trash and talking about y'all gonna be one and done and I was like, dude, I was like, you know, it's the playoffs. This is when y'all stick up the joint to work. And he just was talking all types of trash because the flight was delayed on the way down there, and so he was talking trash to all the people. And then as we got on the plane, the game started while we were on the plane. And it was by the time we got the baggage claim, it was already 27-0. And he was just like he was in a hole. He was sad as hell. I was like, I told you. He's like, y'all gonna lose soon. I was like, yeah, but we already know.
We have seen this so many times before, and now they're bringing back Mike McCarthy, and he's going into the final year of his contract, and it doesn't look like he's going to get an extension. So he'll probably go into the last year of his deal.
Yeah, I mean, well, you feel like their head coach is on their roster, on their squad, and Dan Quinn. He's a pretty good. I know Dan Quinn because when he was in Seattle, he's a great guy too. But he's a bit of an innovator defensively, except for not having the guys in the middle to be able to stop the run. So it'll be interesting to see if they start losing at the beginning of the season, will they just let him go? Because yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like if things start to implode, I can see Jerry just letting him go before the season's up. You know, to get a head start on the search. But if he wins. But I don't, you know, if he wins, I don't see them. If he wins and then gets ousted in the first round of the playoffs again, I don't see them signing him back. In one way, you can look at it as I kept my job throughout the contract, and then, but it's like now are you a lame duck coach?
Yeah. So let me ask you: you played for the Eagles for a long time. You've been with the team. You travel now to all the games, and you watch every Eagles game. You're an Eagle for life. Where would you rank this as far as most disappointing finishes to a season and one of the worst playoff losses we've seen after the collapse they had?
Right up there with the closing of the vet. Remember the closing of the vet?
Yes. The most silent yeah. I've ever heard a stadium.
Yeah, and it's the same team.
Yeah.
I have to put that up there because exactly. It's like you have to put it up there with it. And then not only that, the sun shines on the dog's ass every once in a while. That's what happened with Baker Mayfield. He's good. He's good enough to every once in a while have a good game, a good to great game. I was like, but the thing that hurt the most is we lost to Drew Lock, lost to Tyrod Taylor, and what's the DeVito kid? And who else we lose to?
Well, I mean, down the stretch, Kyler Murray. Back there in the middle of the season, Zach Wilson beat the Eagles.
Exactly. You lose to those quarterbacks, and you look back, and it's like we should have saw it coming. I was like, but when it started going downhill, it started rolling real fast, and nobody could stop it. And we still showed up. There was a lot of Eagles fans at the game. I know you saw. It was like every two or three Bucks fans you saw about two or three Eagles fans stuff. And then they were – a lot of guys were just betting on the game to see it, to get the points. But it was bad. It was bad. It wasn't a game that I feel like we were, as fans, fully invested in because of what we've seen the previous weeks. Because you've shown us who you are.
Yeah. So when you look back, the Eagles were 10-1, and they're coming off that win over the Bills where the defense played 90-plus snaps. Yeah. And, boy, the defense was just completely gassed. You remember Jordan Davis running across the field and just, like, came crashing down on the sideline. Do you think, looking back, going into that Niners game and the way they got dominated by the Niners, then got dominated by the Cowboys – do you really think – I mean, did this team just run out of gas? I mean, what is the explanation for the collapse?
You can look at it one or two ways. You can look at it as they ran out of gas after the 90-play thing. But then that only – run out of gas only lasts so long. I was like, there was times there where we had like 10 days of rest. sooner or later you get your second win. And nobody said anything. We played two 18-game seasons where we went to the Super Bowl, and then right after the Super Bowl, it's like Super Bowl's in February. In March, in the middle of March, guess what starts? Off-season workout. So, but then you lose six players on defense. I feel like early on we were losing in spite of the coaching, and we won in spite of the coaching the previous season too. But we had more pieces. If you look at it, we lost Hargrave. We lost T.J. Edwards. We lost Kazir White. We lost C.J. Gardner, Marcus Epps. It's like you look at that. You look at all that, and then you bring a first year defensive coordinator here, who doesn't garner the respect or has the testicle fortitude to blitz and give the guy – you have to give the guy something to do. Instead of – don't have him thinking out there. If you think you study long, you study wrong. It's like the game happens at a fast pace. And if you're standing there with your feet in sand or your feet in quicksand or cement, the people are going to run by you. Or they're going to run through you and you're going to bounce back up. But it's like – but. When you look at the way things unfolded, more so, I think it was the coaching towards the end, not the ability to stop the bleeding, so to speak. Stop the bleeding, because we still, after that, you know, at what point do you stop blaming it on the 90 plays?
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to come up with some reasonable explanation for
there is
one of the worst collapses.
It is one of the worst. It's like I was everybody kept talking about it was the worst collapse. I was like, those other teams never made it to the playoffs. I was like, we did make it to the playoffs, but it's like, but after a Super Bowl year, most of the time one of the teams is not getting back to the Super Bowl. Like, you remember after we went to the Super Bowl, we got thrown around. So you see you have the hangover because you've been playing all that time.
Boy. Well, it was an awful, awful end to the season, and we will see if from this meeting with Eagles owner Jeff Lurie, if Nick Sirianni remains the Eagles head coach. Obviously, the veterans and captains, they came out and supported him. So that's what we're waiting on now. We'll see. Hopefully, they will get in a defensive coordinator, a experienced defensive coordinator.
There you go. Yes, somebody respectable. Somebody is like, because if you bring somebody in the first year again, do you think the guys are really going to respect them, or are they going to be looking at them skeptically because they just went through this? I was like, I don't know. You keep putting inexperienced people. I was like, and the only way you get experience is to get the job. I was like, but we just went through that. How about let's get some experience in there first?
Yep. No, I agree.
I don't know.
Hollis, I appreciate the time. I know, boy, this is a rough week for everybody because you're just trying to find some reason why this all happened. But you're going to be doing other Philly sports trips. You're the ambassador for Philly sports trips. And
yes, you're doing it. I was just going to ask you, are you going to be down at spring training? Because we do spring. We will be. I was like, well, on the spring training. But now we do spring training, and we're doing the stadium series with the Flyers. I think the Flyers are playing the Devils.
The Devils, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey,
I'll be at both of those events. And we got the Phillies in London, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's going to be good.
I'll be at that as well. And the Sixers. The Sixers are winning. The only thing that good came out of the playoff night was the Sixers won and the Flyers won. That's the only thing that came out. Yeah. You don't have to. I was like, when I say not so much hope, because we love football, and you love your team to be in there. And it's like everybody was like, "Who you rooting for?" Not no damn body. Give a damn. I watch the games just because to see who wins. But I don't give a damn who wins now. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I can't do that. Like my second team, I don't have a second team.
No, I feel you.
That means you're playing for something else, but.
Well, hey, leaving Tampa, I was thinking spring training, pitchers and catchers, 1 month away, and it's cold up here in Philly, so at least that gives you some hope and some warmth.
Yes, big time.
Big time. Hollis, thank you so much for the time, man. I'll see you down at spring training then.
Yes, I appreciate you.